This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Read minds here. It's hour four of the G-Bag Nation on 105 through the Fan. Thank you very much. Okay, we're live at Richardson Bar and Grill, and we're handing out G-Bag Nation flags while they last. I'm pretty sure we have about 20 or 25 in there. Should have enough to make it to the end of the show, but we've given away a ton already here at Richardson Bar and Grill. And we're now standing by for Eric Kendricks, the Eric Kendricks Show here on your home of the Cowboys every Thursday at around 5 o'clock. It just depends on, you know, how long meetings and walkthroughs go. So we'll get Eric Kendricks here on the line in just a second, brought to you by Keurig and by Dr. Pepper. So salute to those sponsors. It's always great to catch up with the Cowboys linebacker here on a Thursday. And here's the Chief with more football content. Yes, Wolchuk?
3 minutes.
3 minutes.
All right, that's all the time I need, honestly, cool. If we're being real about it. It's about twice the time, actually. Let's go ahead and acknowledge the fact that in the offseason, Antonio Pierce and company, and maybe even dating back all the way to last year, talking about playing Patrick Mahomes with Michael Jordan-style rules, roughing him up in a big way. They had a Pat Mahomes, like, ventriloquist doll or something out there at training camp with the Raiders, and they were tackling him and doing some weird stuff, voodoo style. But now it's Raiders and Chiefs week. And apparently the NFL has responded to Antonio Pierce by quietly sticking the referee who calls the number one most roughing the passer penalties in the sport to be the headband for this particular matchup. So that's going to take the wind out of the sails of Raider Nation for sure. They were looking to rough up their division foe, the current GOAT at quarterback Pat Mahomes. But the NFL said, not so fast, my friend. Here's the number one roughing call ref in the sport.
Do we know who the ref is?
What is his name? Let me go take a look.
I'm sorry about that.
No, it's okay.
Josh Reynolds story that's going on right now?
What's going on with Josh Reynolds?
So Josh Reynolds is on the Denver Broncos.
Yeah.
And apparently, I guess this must have been last Friday in Denver, he got shot in the back of the head leaving a strip club.
No way.
What?
This is just breaking?
Yeah.
Is he okay?
So a statement from the team, Josh Reynolds was a victim of a shooting on Friday in Denver and received treatment for minor injuries. Out of respect for the legal process, we will defer further comments on this matter to the authorities. I assume he's okay. We have not heard that he is deceased. That would probably mean that he is okay. But holy crap, like, you get shot in the back of the head.
That's crazy. Tough transition, but I believe Eric Kendricks is now joining us now.
All righty. Brought to you by Keurig and Dr. Pepper. Eric Kendricks, Cowboys linebacker, joining us now here on your home of the Cowboys, 105.3 The Fan. Eric, good afternoon. How the heck are you?
What's up?
Well, it's 49ers week. I thought we could start with, you know, talking about your background as a Northern California guy and how you look at the Niners here, just with your general outlook.
Yeah, I'm more of a Central California guy, you know.
Okay. Okay.
Fresno right in the middle. But at the same time, you know, obviously I played against them a ton. All my friends growing up, not all of them, but I had a lot of split friends between, you know, the Raiders, Niners. So very familiar with the team. And, yeah, excited to play them.
What kind of an environment you think you guys are in for Sunday night?
Oh, yeah. You know, I feel like it's a great fan base, you know, going to be a good environment, rowdy for sure. But night game in Frisco, it's obviously a rivalry as well, so it should be an interesting one.
Eric, we've missed you, and the team missed you against the Lions. I know that had to be tough for you to sit out. I'll be real with you. We're out here at Richardson Bar and Grill for an appearance, for a remote show. got a little liquid courage here.
Yeah.
You playing on Sunday, man? We need you.
I'm just gonna keep working this week. I'm gonna give you the general answer, but at the same time, I'm doing everything I can to feel as good as I can.
Okay. With that being said, obviously this is your first year with the Cowboys. Cowboys have a history with San Francisco, and the rivalry goes deep. But recent years, obviously the Niners have seemed to have the Cowboys' number. You're a leader. I don't think that's a surprise to anybody on this defense, even being year one. How do you balance being a leader to this defense, but also maybe not having been here for the wars against the 49ers in the past, and maybe some boogeyman type of tendencies that might be in the head of the Cowboys entering this game?
Yeah, I feel like, every year is a new year. Obviously there's some history, and it's a common opponent, but at the same time, we got to go out there and play free. This is a great opportunity. This is one of the, better teams in the league the past, X amount of years. So, it's a Sunday night football game. So what do you want to do? You want to show up or you not? Better get ready.
Yes. I imagine you guys are chomping at the bit coming out of the bye. Eric Kendricks with you here on 105 through the Fan. And speaking of the bye, Eric, how was your bye? Did you get some time away, relax with the family?
It was good. I stayed local. Got a lot of body work in, but I did have some family come in town. So, definitely got some needed R&R. But had to get a lot of body work and stuff, obviously, following the week prior.
Now, you're talking about your body, right? Not a Bondo job on one of your classic cars or something.
That's what I was going to ask, yeah.
No, but I was actually cooking a little bit during the bye week, And, I woke up one morning and, my son was a little bit fussy. He was hungry. And my wife was like, oh, yeah, he usually wants French toast. And I was like, what?
Yes.
I'm like, French toast? She's like, yeah, if you want to make it with the cream cheese. And I started being like, hold on. I'll make the French toast. I got that. I'll handle that. But, I'm not going to do this pumpkin spice French toast for the seasons for him.
Yeah. We're not doing the stuffed French toast.
He's a year and a half old.
He's
a year and a half old. He's going to enjoy what I make for him, hopefully.
Good taste, though.
But he crushed it.
I would detect that maybe that the missus wanted the French toast and hope that you're making it for the kid, but not going to eat it all. Now she gets to get involved with that, right?
No, that's what you think, but I made French toast for one person in the house only, not for myself, not for my in-laws, not for my wife, just for my son, who's...
I hear you. I make French toast for my daughter every day, and it's become quite a routine. But I was going to ask you, for you personally, French toast, pancakes, or waffles, what is the best breakfast bread?
It has to be French toast, and it has to be on a good slice of bread. I think it's crucial. And I think if I would go number two, it'd be a waffle, but I like a thin waffle. I like a really flat, thin waffle. Lots of grooves. Yeah, lots of grooves in it. Nice and buttered up. But I'm a fan of all three, to be honest.
So not a thick Belgium.
Not a thick Belgium. I like a thin, I don't know if anybody's been to Roscoe's, but it's
Roscoe's. There you go.
So you can probably tell, Eric, you've been around here. The Cowboys get a lot of attention, nationally. And one of the stories this week was about former players saying that around the star, it can be kind of a distraction with tours coming around and the focus isn't about football. What has been your sort of year one initial observations or takeaways from working at the star and how different it might be from your previous stops?
Yeah, it's a different ballgame. I feel like obviously there's a more attention in a sense, more media, obviously, more fandom. Football in Texas is just a bigger deal in general. I feel like along with anything, you got to just adjust and figure it out as a pro. Obviously, there's going to be distractions that come up along the way, but the best you can, you got to filter them out.
Hey, Eric, I've been watching the 49ers just trying to get an idea for our pregame shows and stuff, and I'm just kind of curious, though, that teams that run all these crossers, how difficult is that dealing with a team that's kind of an intermediate throwers, a lot of crossers? What is that like for a linebacker to have to prep for each week?
Yeah, I feel like it just depends where our progression's at in the mix of that. But the reason why it's usually hard is because the DBs are having to, you know, guard a guy coast to coast, you know, sideline to sideline.
Sure.
And they're just running away from their leverage. But that's why the backers come in, because we got to help on the underneaths, so we can kind of like, you know, buy them time, and then hopefully our pass rush gets there. But, you know, it gets tricky when it's, you know, when it's a good run game mixed with the play action, you know, vice versa, you know. So that's where you see, you know, some success.
A lot's been made about the Cowboys playing young players, and that's not a secret when it comes to linebacker either. You've got DeMarvin Overshown, who's essentially a rookie, and Maris Liafau as well. How do you think about the development? Like, how are these young guys coming along?
No, you know, they're coming along great. You know, I feel like, you know, their attitude, mindset is definitely there. You know, obviously they're going to be seeing more and more looks as the season goes on and learning more ball. But, you know, I feel like they're – as a rookie, you don't want to have to, like, what's the word? You don't want to have to, like, motivate them to do, you know, to go harder, or like to, like, you know, have aggression or anything like that. So you don't have to worry about that. You know, you more have to just, you know, pull the reins back and be like, oh no, we need to slow it down right here. We need to, you know, get our eyes better and this and that. So, you know, the aggressive part and the tenacity is definitely there. You know, but I think that, you know, as the season goes on, I can't wait to see these boys get even better and better.
Mike McCarthy was asked today, like, can you still accomplish your team goals? And he chose to talk about how young and inexperienced the team is. Is there any sort of a pullback from, hey, maybe we're more of a developmental team than we knew coming out of camp for you?
Yeah, you know, I feel like, you know, you adjust as the season goes on. But, you know, I feel like there's no excuse, really, you know. It's just this is the team, and we got to work with it. So, you know, if young guys got to play and learn, and they got to play and learn, and, you know, the vets got to step up, and everybody in between, you know, you got to rise to the occasion.
I want to kind of pick your brain a little bit, Eric, as we have Eric Hendricks here on our player show on 105.3 The Fan of the G-Bag Nation, on just, like, the film study. I played some audio earlier in the show of Luke Kuechly that some of my co-hosts might not have loved, but I thought it was super interesting when it came to, he tries to match what he sees on tape, maybe a check, and then goes back to the actual, like, TV copy to try and hear, like, the verbals from the quarterback on some of the checks. What's the film study like for you as you prepare for a game week against, say, Brock Purdy and the 49ers?
Oh, yeah, definitely. You know, I like to – me personally, you know, I go through first and second downs, third downs, but what I like to do is I like to take a call sheet and just kind of, like, as I'm watching a play, you know, some plays are more, you know, I don't want to say basic, but some plays are more – common. So, you know, I watch them, you know, see what the linemen are doing, you know, see how the running back is hitting it, and then, you know, I'll go to the next one. But then there's some route concepts or something like that, I'll go through the playbook. So I'll have my call sheet, and I'll you know, it's a 3-by-1, I'll be like, okay, how does this match up versus this play? Okay, how does this match up versus this play? Okay, where do I line versus this play? So I'll just go down the line, and you know, as I prepare, you know, as I'm watching, you know, I'm preparing for each look just mentally by going through the playbook in my head.
We like to talk about bye week adjustments and added wrinkles and things like that. Eric, is that overstated, or is there something to that?
No, it's definitely a real thing. You know, you got to self-scout a little bit. You got to, you know, find new ways to attack and to, you know, be fresh. So that's definitely a real thing. And also, you know, it's definitely a real thing watching TV copies as well. I know that was the last question, but.
Yeah.
So what do you watch the TV copy for, to see what they're saying about you?
You know, you can get you know, whether it's a hand signal, whether it's, you know, some quarterbacks lick their hand before they throw it, you know, little things like that, like little tips, you know, code words. You can hear offensive linemen sometimes talking. Sometimes it's just the announcers, you know, just blabbing on and on, so you can't really hear anything or get anything from it, but, you know, sometimes you can.
Hey, Eric, real quick, I want to ask you, are you on the field goal block team by any chance?
I'm not.
Okay, well, maybe pass this along. I was watching their holder. He taps the ground when he's ready for the center to snap, and as soon as he taps the ground, the ball's coming. So if you're on the sidelines, I just was watching their special teams film, and I was curious about trying to get a rush on these guys, because the Steelers have been blocking a lot of field goals. I'm curious, like, what are they looking at And for the 49ers, when the holder taps the ground, center, the ball's coming. So I didn't know it. Maybe I was thinking a little.
Let's go.
I'm just giving you a little scouting.
Well, don't give it away, Brian. That should be a private text.
But I just noticed that as soon as every time he taps the ground, the ball's there. That's what he does. So
love it.
Maybe that's their way of signaling, snap the ball ready. Here we go.
It's Eric Kendricks with you here on The Fan. I love that, Brian, the former Cowboy Scout, NFL executive with you every afternoon here in the G-Bag Nation. So you were talking about the self-scouting stuff, and you know Mike McCarthy has introduced this across the hall to us in the media, where at bye week the offense talks to the defense and defense talks to the offense. Were you involved in that? And you know, what would you say if they were like, man, we need more points. What do we do here?
Oh, yeah. No, we were involved with that, but we were, you know, I wasn't like in the offensive type of meeting. You know, it was more of like the offensive people were in the defensive meeting. I don't know how to explain it.
Okay. No, that makes sense.
But, yeah, you know, I know defense. I don't know. I mean, I can know some offense or what would be, you know, but mainly I just know things that could, you know, I guess – be challenging for me on defense, so I guess, you know, in a way, but
okay. Well, what makes the 49ers offense so challenging? Because I know you haven't been here, but this offense has been something where there has been no answer for the most part from this Cowboys defense when it comes to all the motion, the running schemes. I mean, we're very nervous about Jordan Mason and this rushing attack this week, Eric.
Don't be nervous. At the same time, I feel like the reason why it's so good is because it's so consistent as far as like the main looks you're gonna get over and over and over, and they're consistent with it. But then they have the little wrinkles off those looks, mm-hmm. you know, the little adjustments, the little someone's going down, you know, six times in a row, and then they go down a little bit, and then they come out, you know, you get caught. So it's like that's the key, is to get them in the favorable down and distances so we can light them up.
We were marveling at the quarterback sneak for a touchdown play that they had versus the Chiefs, where they're pulling guys in different directions and then just doing the QB sneak. Have you ever seen that done before?
I don't know. You know, I've seen a lot of, you know, weird, crazy things. But yeah, you know, people get creative for sure these days.
You mentioned the quarterbacks that lick their fingers. Which quarterback is most synonymous with being the guy that licks his fingers the most?
I would say that was like a big A-Rod key.
Okay, Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
Yeah, North. Yeah, that can be a tick after, you know, all those hallucinogens and whatnot.
but you self-scout, so you pick up on those things, and then you just do it, and then you run the ball, and it's like, oh, okay, we got to stop looking at that.
It takes one play to just nullify it.
I remember one time we were like, if they do, like, we were playing Philadelphia, and we were like, if they do this, it is a pass, like, 100% of the time, like, every time. And, you know, we were a couple games in, and we were like, we seen that first one. Oh my gosh, it was a run. They did it twice in a row, and we were like, all right, we got to stop. We can't go by that anymore.
That's awesome.
Because they just got us.
So you played with Nick Vigil in Minnesota, and now you're playing with him again here in Dallas. Did you ever get a salt and pepper call when you both were on the field, maybe together in Minnesota, as the offense was trying to adjust to you guys?
No, we have a play, you know, like that, but it's not directed towards us or anything like that. But, you know, Nick's my guy. You know, I've been playing with him. It's my second year playing with him, but, you know, obviously we went back to Minnesota, you know, he played really well for us there. Smart guy, you know. I think this is his ninth year in the league as well, so a lot of experience.
Okay, the last question I want to ask you is about Uncrustables. There was a massive story in The Athletic about the amount of Uncrustables that are eaten for NFL teams. The Cowboys were kind of in the bottom five when it came to Uncrustables consumed. But is this a thing for you throughout your NFL career? You're just smashing a bunch of Uncrustables?
I actually have seen them tons of times in the locker room, and I see them everywhere. But I don't eat peanut butter, so I'm not. I've never been an Uncrustable guy. I won't start.
Is that an allergy-related deal?
No, it's more of a preference.
You don't like peanut butter. You don't like peanut butter, right?
It's a strong flavor. You know, anything with peanut butter in it, it's overtaking whatever it's in. And I'm not a fan. So I'm probably going to help those numbers as far as the Uncrustables, you know, not being eaten. But every team that I've been on, they've been just getting crushed.
And then one final thing, we'll see you Sunday night, right, in the lineup?
You will see me working hard to get back.
Good Let's answer. Go. Good Hell answer. Yeah. Eric, we love you.
Thank All you right. so much for your time, sir. Have a great weekend.
Take it easy.
Cheers. Eric Kendricks with you here on 105 Through the Fan, brought to you by Keurig and Dr. Pepper. We are live at Richardson Bar and Grill here on Campbell Road. G-Bag Nation flags, yes, we have them. Let me put them up on the table here. We're at the broadcast position if you're looking for them. We're back with the Expressway and a Mavs opening night edition of a rim session here. It's the G-Bag Nation live with you on 105.3.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
The Fan. Welcome back. It is the G-Bag Nation here on 105 Through the Fan. We are live at Richardson Bar and Grill on Campbell Road. And we do have some G-Bag Nation flags if you want to come by and pick them up. Looks like we're about down to a dozen or so. Segment of the Nation is brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate your vehicle today at carsforkids.org. The Expressway, we go commercial-free to the top. LA Live coming up here in about 13 minutes, is brought to you by the on-time experts. And, of course, this football hour. Well, Chuck, you know it so well. Presented by Buffalo Wild Wings, where B-dubs is football. And you absolutely love watching the games.
And I can't wait to be there tomorrow, dude.
Yeah, man, Grand Prairie tomorrow. It is the best. I mean, the 5 o'clock football hour is presented by Buffalo Wild Wings, where B-dubs is football, and a double remote KNC plus the G-Bag Nation out at the Buffalo Wild Wings, Grand Prairie. It's a can't miss. If you didn't get your G-Bag flag today, and they did bring in more G-Bag flags, we'll have them tomorrow.
Okay, Eric, I want to open up a rim session here, if you don't mind, with the opening ceremonies here. And I got this David Aldridge in the Athletic season predictions and really great takeaways on the Mavs. Go ahead.
Heck yeah, let's do it. For the first time in Richardson Bar and Grill history, we cut the lights out, we put the kids to bed, and on opening night, the G-Bag Nation goes all 56 inches around that rim. It's always a special occasion when Gavin Dawson, via David Aldridge, provides some awesome Mavericks news.
Let's go, yes. You can read him in The Athletic these days. David Aldridge is the association. He is the NBA, a long career covering, reporting for TNT, now writing in The Athletic. It's just, it's not an NBA season unless you have David Aldridge reporting on things. He gives you 24 big questions for the season, skimmed it, scanned it, got the most relevant Mavs questions here for you. I mean, one of them is, you know, Wemby's ceiling. I think even though that's not a Mavs question, it is a Mavs question tonight, opening against the Spurs and trying to win a championship, I believe, before Wembanyama takes over. I mean, Wembanyama is like Kevin Durant and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar in the same dude. Maybe right. A little bit taller, a little bit longer. He stops two-on-one fast breaks by himself. Mm. You don't go driving the lane. I mean, I think in his prime, it's like, well, does Luka get into the lane or throw it out for the three-point shot or pull up? I don't know if finishing at the rim against Wemby is going to be easier than Rudy Gobert's offering the challenge right now. Very tough to finish inside against him. But the thing with Wemby, he's going to be able to defend the perimeter as well. So it's not like there's a big kryptonite. I think his ceiling is the greatest player to ever play in the NBA, and I pray he doesn't get there.
I know, and I do too, just because of the jersey that he's wearing. As a basketball fan, you want to see that stuff, but with him being a Spur...
At least in the East.
You don't want it. Yeah. Maybe can you pull a Kawhi Leonard and get out of Dodge and then go dominate somewhere else a little bit. But, yeah, it's really... It's all out there in front of him. And even with the high expectations coming into the season last year, he met them and in some ways surpassed them. And he is a guy that has lent voice to being an extremely hard worker, dedicated to the craft, and always trying to add things to his game. And the thing about it, like, his canvas is just so vast. He can try and develop all these different skills because he has the ability to accomplish it. So he's the rare guy who's, like, in the same season could be your league MVP and your defensive player of the year.
Indeed. That's crazy, man. League MVP and defensive player of the year. Best under-the-radar pickup in free agency is where the Mavs stuff starts flowing, the Mavs content starts flowing here inside David Aldridge's league preview. He says it's Najee Marshall. Likes the fit. Essentially replacing Derrick Jones Jr., 26-year-old Marshall, a year younger than Jones, cost the Mavs less than what Jones wound up getting in L.A., shot it better from deep last season, 38%. If that is a new normal for Najee Marshall, the Mavs upgraded in a big way because Jones got hot in the playoffs, in their trip to the finals. I think the work that he did against L.A. and OKC was unbelievable. And all of a sudden, I started looking at Derrick Jones Jr. like, this guy's a great spot-up three-point shooter. He was for a couple of weeks, and then the clock struck midnight on him. Anyway, Marshall has the potential to be, you know, a better offensive player. Marshall and Jones were a wash last year per dunks and threes. Jones was in the 96th percentile last year, an estimated defensive plus-minus. Marshall was just right behind him. Just one step behind. So, you know, what we lost in Jones was an incredible defensive stopper. But Marshall is going to, fill that void, I think, well.
He will. He's had a track record versus Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, being a guy who can slow him down. We know how key that's going to be if the Mavericks are going to repeat as Western Conference champions. And then I just think he's got a little bit more physicality to his game as well. If you're in the finals again versus Tatum and Brown and these bigger wing type dudes, I think Najee Marshall fits that. And we talk about his shooting and how it's so much better offensively than Derrick Jones Jr. Really, what was Derrick Jones Jr. offensively? If he got hot, sure, he was a three-ball guy. Yeah. But otherwise, he was an alley-oop dude.
Yeah.
I think Najee Marshall will show a little bit more of an offensive repertoire as well.
Yeah. So, that part of it is exciting right there. And it's going to be important, writes Aldridge, as Dallas imports Klay Thompson to play big minutes this season. Marshall, Lively, Gafford are going to be all that stands between the Mavs and giving up 110-plus every night. I think you'd throw Quentin Grimes in there
as
well.
Yes, absolutely.
As far as a guy that could be a good defensive pickup for
I think
for
he's being super slept on right now.
Yes.
In fact, I wouldn't be shocked if at the end of the year we're talking about Quentin Grimes, bigger impact than Najee.
Wow, that would be something.
There's something about Quentin Grimes' game. Like, he's hitting threes at a high clip in the preseason. I think he fits perfectly with this team.
He's my preseason glue guy.
I love that.
And X Factor was Najee Marshall.
Yeah.
Preseason Mavericks, you're going X Factor, Najee, and I'm going glue guy for Quentin Grimes.
And I think that's an important note because I don't think Derrick Jones Jr. was that much of a glue guy. I think he was a great on-the-ball
defender.
But, like, what made the Celtics special is their team defense, the communication, the subtle adjustments in positioning and denying the lane.
But also the ability to score.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
All those guys came up with big-time threes randomly in the finals for them.
Yes, you're right.
The Mavericks lacked that ability.
They did. Okay, and then Aldridge, note 23, he says, the champion will be, to hell with parity, Boston and Dallas going to run it back, but this time it's Luka time.
Wow.
And he points to, CA mentioned this last night in crosstalk with us, in these combined runs that they have made, playoffs' biggest runs, they've logged at least three total seasons worth of games in the last 4 years, I think it is. Three-fourths of another full season. He's betting on them, like, running out of gas. I don't know. I'm going to have to believe it till I see it. I think the bigger concern with Boston Chief is managing the success. Like, how much great chemistry do they have? After you win big, I think guys can be a little bit less willing to sacrifice, do whatever it takes to make the team happy. I wonder about Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown's relationship when they went to add the player to Team USA after, what was it, Kevin Durant was ruled unable to play. Kawhi Leonard was ruled unable to play. I imagine they asked Tatum, and they didn't bring Jaylen Brown up. The MVP of the finals, they go with Derek White.
Right, yeah.
And maybe that's more of a complimentary team player type of piece, but that's Jaylen Brown.
Right.
Jaylen Brown is not a ball hog. He's not an ISO, you know, type of dude. So am I fishing? Am I reaching a little bit? Maybe, but I'm trying to find any reason other than injury that Boston will not be super dominant again. You know, maybe, you know, the improvement of Derek Lively could, change that dynamics. Maybe just Luka and Kyrie have better series, but I wouldn't bet on that with the quality of defense that Boston's throwing out there.
Yeah, it's tough to find anything wrong with what the Celtics got going on. If I was a Celtics fan, I'd feel good about just the mental aspect of being a champion and handling that. With Joe Mazzulla as their head coach,
yeah,
I think that's a guy who...
That's where I was going to go. I think Joe Mazzulla was built for this.
He was. He's
built, and his message to his team, complete buy-in. You could tell by the way that they play, and I'm not just talking about opening night, but through the playoffs and stuff. I mean, he's
a different kind of dude.
He's quirky. He's strange. He kind of is his own dude, but, man, he gets the players' attention. I think that's the one thing. If you start to talk about the Celtics, I would say the reason why they're probably going to repeat or come back and be in the finals is because of him.
Yeah.
He knows how to navigate
the
season.
For sure.
Yeah.
I do love what David Aldridge said, because I didn't realize the wear and tear factor and how deep into the postseason the Celtics have gone over the years, and could that be a factor? At that point, you're looking for any edge possible, and that could be something.
Yeah. You know, that's why it's so difficult to win three in a row. You got to have a dominant roster with Hall of Famers to make it the long haul like that. For many reasons, it'll wear you down. What other kind of NBA news and notes do we have here in this rimmer?
Well, I do feel good about the, let's continue the Mavericks hopium. And as we talk about Klay Thompson and his fit, some of the numbers are pretty jarring. We know that the Mavericks were desperate for three-point shooting in the finals, and getting Klay Thompson was a huge thing for them to try and remedy that situation. And Brian Demaris and D Magazine had some of the numbers there. The Mavs attempted the most corner threes in the league last year, but hit them at the 28th best rate.
Wow.
So they're getting all the looks. When you have Luka, when you have Kyrie, the best shot in the sport is, of course, the corner three, the most efficient. And so no one creates more of those looks for their guys than Luka, and so the Mavs were number one in corner threes attempted last year, but again, only 28th in terms of the rate that they were knocking them down at. But over the last 9 years of Klay Thompson's career, including the playoffs, Thompson hit corner threes at a 43% rate.
Oh my goodness.
That's disgusting. Last year was a down year for him. Only 40%.
Let's take it.
Yeah. So he's just going to get all those type of opportunities, and then catch and shoot stuff. We know Klay Thompson to be one of those guys that can have, you know, erupt for a ridiculous amount of points and barely dribble the basketball.
Yeah.
And that's going to be something that's going to be hugely, hugely beneficial to the Mavericks this year. Of course, with Luka and Kyrie dancing on everybody, catch and shoot, Klay Thompson, here we go. And he hit 219 catch and shoot threes last year. That was second most in the league.
Wow.
81% of his threes are of the catch-and-shoot variety.
Yeah, he's amazing. I don't think we're going to be able to depend on Klay Thompson to be a consistent force, but I would say, you know, at least a couple of times a month, you're going to be like, Klay Thompson shooting won us that game.
Totally. Yeah. I mean, because he knows in 77 games last season, Klay Thompson scored 24 or more points 21 times.
Let's go.
So, yeah. I mean,
when he gets going, you want to feed him.
Yes, and he shot better than 40% from deep in 36 games. So, and everything's just going to be made so much easier for him offensively here as it's constructed alongside Luka and Kyrie. So all that stuff is big time exciting, and we look forward to tip off at the AAC coming up here very, very soon. And then finally, you know, last night you had the wall, the Intuit Dome, looking like a student section in college basketball. The rabid nature of the Clippers fan base taking on the identity of their owner, who hopped in the mix for a little while and led the charge in the rabid fan section.
Got a big mosh pit there.
Called the wall. Yeah, right behind the baseline. No opposing fans are allowed. It's just rabid Clippers fans, many of which were vetted out before the season to just prove that they were as diehard of Clippers fans as they alleged themselves to be. So
you're going to have to expand that section. That's my prediction because it's going to be so much fun, high demand for those tickets. They might have to go double wall.
Yes, yes. You know? And in the second half of games, you have the road team shooting that direction. So free throws are a nightmare. Kevin Durant said it was incredible. He loved it, loves the wall. It's insane. And he said that Steve Ballmer doing a great job with the franchise. You also had Devin Booker. Devin Booker saying, he says, I missed a free throw, man. I was pissed. Kevin Durant missed two down there, too. That bleep might work. You spend $2 billion and put a wall up. Get it done. So Devin Booker, Kevin Durant as the road opponents for the first time ever in the Clippers' new dome. They were a fan.
Let's go. I love it. Thank you very much. It is the G-Bag Nation here on The Fan and tip-off at 6:30. Get down to the AAC, get home early, or better yet, join us here, Richardson Bar and Grill. Pick up a G-Bag Nation flag, tip-off 6:30. Time now to go back to the Pimp Cup. Here's Lucius.
Here we go. Yeah, here we go. All right, let's see here. It is a Thirsty Thursday, Ladies Night edition to LA Live right after the great Rick James.
All right, you squares.
Ladies!
It's not that good of a job to be a professional athlete for most of them, because really, they're the only men on earth who really get what it's like to be a woman. They have until they're 30 years old. And then men are gonna stop caring about them. That's it. Yeah, men are gonna start watching younger athletes. Maybe college athletes. And for some sick people,
high school.
It happens. Am I the only woman who's weeping at the Super Bowl party? Because I realize as I'm watching, I'm thinking exactly what the players are thinking. Like, as a woman getting older, I'm like, I'm going to go out there and I'm going to get that ring. This year. And then I get a concussion. It's like the same emotional experience. I mean, I was online dating for 10 years. You don't think I have cognitive damage from that?
That's hilarious. This is LA Live for Thursday, October 24th, 2024. It is a Thirsty Thursday Ladies Night edition of LA Live. Shout out to all the female Tolos riding with us. You are appreciated, and it's always for the ladies.
Salute.
Always for you. And shout out to my homeboy Woody. He hit me up and said it's his girl's birthday, so shout out to you. Shout out to y'all. It's my peoples right there out of Irvine.
Whenever I hear Woody, I think of Randy Moss.
Yep. I know what you're talking about there. Fellas, I have a question for you right quick on a Thirsty Thursday, ladies' night. You guys are real full of sage relationship wisdom.
Yeah.
Not true.
We've often like that. Said that.
Yeah, I hear it. It just it oozes out of your paws.
Not true.
What advice would you give someone looking to get married right now? What advice would you be looking to give some sage wisdom from someone looking to hook up?
Okay, so as the newest married individual on the stand here, I would say stay single as long as possible.
Yeah, I would say if you are thinking about this, are you starting a family?
You know?
And if you want that and you want kids and everything and you're willing to sacrifice to make that happen for those kids, do it. If you don't want kids, I would say just don't get married.
Period. Yeah, if you don't want kids, there's no need to get married.
Yeah.
Absolutely not.
Yeah. What do you think, Lucius? How'd we do?
It sounds sage to me. Yeah. How about these? What do you think about these? Well, you got one, Brodus?
Yeah, you know, it's happened to me twice. And it's not worked out twice.
It's happened to me twice, like it was an accident or something.
But you had a great son out of it.
I got a son out of it. If you're going forward just to have a kid, you know.
Worth it.
Worth it. It's also just you can maybe find somebody that wants to have a kid, too, and you don't have to get married to do that. So, yeah. I mean, you got a lot of ladies out there that are professionals that are probably doing better than you, you know, financially.
I love the way you looked at me when you said that.
No, I'm just looking at everybody here.
So you want to marry one of them and leech off them?
Well, not leech.
Big inheritance?
But, no, you split the responsibility with for the kid.
There you go.
You know what I'm saying?
Just know
you
the
kind
dog,
of split everything
the
up.
The dog and he is never leaving.
Yeah, but you have a kid and, you know, you kind of get along. You get along better with a kid being divorced. And I do. I have.
Yeah, because you only had to see him half the time.
Is this the wisdom you guys are going to give to the people that's looking to get married? Is this the wisdom?
Oh, yeah. Don't do it.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, just, no, don't do it unless you want. I think that you could find somebody that you like that maybe will want to have a kid with you.
Yeah.
And you could find a way to co-parent and raise that kid.
I would also say to all young men out there, now maybe this is toxic, Lucius. You know, maybe this is coming from a bad place, you know, but I would say if you are going to get married, then you want to make sure it's someone that's incredibly attractive to you. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because they're going to drive you crazy,
yes.
You know,
yeah.
And you want to be able to look up when you wake up and be like, it's all worth it.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt.
See, you have to remember that pretty MF is crazy.
Yeah.
I feel what you're saying.
Even then, there'll be times where it's like,
How about these right here? Tell me what you think. Live with your partner for at least 3 years.
Not long enough.
See who that... Hey!
Yeah.
You got to shake that representative. You don't know who you're dealing with. You got to give it some time so you can see who you're really dealing with. Because other than that, it's going to be the representative for the longest time.
Yeah, you've got to make sure that person... Yeah, you got to go through a lot of bad. If you go through a lot of bad with somebody... And you could survive that. That needs to be the person in your
that's
life.
That's totally true. When it comes to living with each other, if you are at least, if you have two separate places, but you are spending the night at said other's house or vice versa,
yep.
I think that's enough. That's from my experience. I did not live with my wife before we moved in together.
Yeah.
And it's been totally fine for the last year.
Yeah.
But I was always constantly basically at her apartment.
Yeah.
So it prepped me for that.
Never give up your place. That's the idea.
I mean, look,
that's
what I would if you've say. Got enough money to spend where you can keep your side hustle,
never give up your place.
I was not. I could not have kept up both rents with that.
So
house
I got seven jobs. Yeah, you don't want to give up.
But if you can do that where you can keep a side apartment to just escape for yourself,
you need
then
a place to go
when
the S hits the fan, you need a place to get the hell out of there.
Brian, that's you had an apartment Eric's when you house. Were married? No wonder.
What?
No wonder, buddy. You had an apartment when you were married?
Oh no! Before I got married,
nobody can afford to do that.
Oh yeah, you can.
Nobody can.
You do anything you can to keep your place.
No,
yeah, absolutely,
absolutely not.
Yeah,
it's not.
And then you're hanging out in the street like no place to go, and your buddy comes over and poops on your couch because he's got no place to go.
Okay, he's got a place to go. He's one of
my
best friends.
No, I'm just saying though, you're gonna take that guy in because you feel bad for him. Because he's got no place to go.
Yeah, I would.
Yeah, keep your place.
Yeah.
Take an extra job or three. Yeah.
Man, I wish somebody would have tapped me on the shoulder and talked to me about some sage wisdom before getting married. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And put you to the side, young LA.
It ain't all cracked up with
me.
Shout out to Brian, bro. Brian gave me the entire deal. He was awesome before I got married.
Yeah.
And I would add to that, Lucius, you know, if you are planning on starting a family, the pregnancy can be very stressful for the lady. So be prepared. That's going to probably be the worst she's going to act.
Oh, dude, there will be a night.
No, after that baby situation, that postpartum gets a little strange when all her body is resetting. Man.
You got to be committed.
That's also true. Yep. But marriage-wise,
I almost jumped off the balcony one night. I was like, I cannot take this anymore. My God.
They're all of a sudden, it's like there's tears. They're mad at you for something. You have no idea what the hell you've done. Yeah. Just be ready.
How about this one? Never marry the woman you love. Marry the woman who loves you.
Hopefully both at the same time. But yeah, if I had to pick one, I think that's good advice.
Yeah. Hey, man, you can learn to love her because she loves you. You can learn to love her.
Yeah.
How about
now, when you get up to?
I disagree, man. I've been with a lot of girls that liked me, and I just I'm sorry, I don't like you back. Come on. We've all had somebody that liked us.
How long did you give him?
Probably anywhere from 6 to 12 months, perhaps. At some point, if I don't like you, now it's a problem. Now I'm actually feeling bad because I can see that you really like me. That actually makes me feel worse.
So you dated a girl for 12 months that you didn't like?
Not the whole time, but eventually you get to a point where now, you know, at some point you stop liking.
Well, you find the red flags, you know?
Whatever it may be.
I mean, you got put in a situation where all of a sudden at the end there, you found out something that you had no idea about.
Oh, okay, yes. If you're going to the engagement situation that broke off, yes. But
that
also just in general.
Fault.
Yes, yes. But also just in general with girlfriends, you know, you date a girl for a while and then you realize, okay, I don't really like her. It doesn't matter that she likes you.
At first,
I don't like her. So, of course, we don't do this anymore.
Other dudes are going to snake you, though. You know? Seriously.
Well, but that's going to happen into the marriage.
Yeah, dudes do not care. You could be married, and they're hitting on your gal.
Well, that's what I'm saying. You can't take the dog out of a male.
They're going to snake you.
We will always.
And gals are going to like, oh, I like being snaked. You know?
No, you got to get a girl that doesn't like to be snaked.
No, girls like to be snaked.
They just like, yeah, they like
do.
Knowing
they
that
like
so attractive.
No, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. They start looking at you
but
and going,
so do
hey,
you.
What?
Oh. So do you as a man.
Nah.
All right, how about this one? Never marry a woman who doesn't speak good about her father.
100%.
Unless her dad was a terrible bleep hole.
Yeah.
And then, of course, all she's doing is being honest about her awful father, which those do exist at times.
Yes, but her role model of a dad is just jacked, right? And you don't know what kind of fantasies are going on in her head of what a dad should be. It is a tough negotiation, Lucius. Mm. I think it's sage.
Mm.
Yeah. My girl loves her father. She's still crazy as hell.
Bat-ass crazy, bro.
Yeah, Bat-ass crazy.
Yeah, I know. My daughter's the same way.
Yeah. She leaves
She'd never get married.
The jack-in-the-box cups, like, in the house.
You stay the hell away from my daughter.
It's part of our furniture now. All right, let's see here. How about this one? Don't marry without good income.
Not for sale.
Bingo.
Mm.
Bingo.
Got to carry her side of the water.
I'm just saying, though, man.
I mean, do you not think true love might be you're able to find a way through the financial issues?
Give me somebody that's motivated. Give me somebody that's motivated. I was married.
If you stick it through.
Yes, I was married to a gal.
Through the bankruptcy and the non-financial problems.
I was married to
I think you're lasting through the
I was married to a gal that made five times as much money as me.
Oh, it's not neat.
Yeah, and that right there, there's a lot of nights where you're not worried about S. You know, you're not worried about bills, and you're not arguing about things and stuff. Stuff's getting taken care of. She's talking to you about, hey, listen, we need to get some health insurance for you or life insurance for him. It's going to cost us $120. You start thinking wise things.
She's dialed.
Yeah, if you're always struggling with talking about finances, you're going to fight way too much.
Yeah, I want her to come to me and be like, hey, man, I got that deposit for your Cancun trip, honey.
Bingo.
I got taken care of. Hey, Use your money for spending when we get out there, okay?
Like, let me take care of rent this month. Yeah. Or let me take care of the car payment this month.
No doubt.
Yeah.
Let's see, how about this one? Marry a working woman, forget about the beauty.
It could get you divorced. It could get you divorced.
The working woman
there on the road.
What's that? Yeah,
this working woman out there on the road.
Oh no, that's what happens.
She got some road beef. Yeah.
3 million mile.
Are we talking like baby dolls, girls?
She got some strange.
No,
yeah,
a different kind of gal.
You never know. Okay,
girls trip to Vegas all the time. It's a girls trip, you know. Yeah. It's just a girls trip.
Dawson's down there saying something about me. I couldn't tell.
No, I was chatting with Wolchuk.
He was putting me in my place.
How about this one, fellas? How about this? Pay attention to how her mother treats her husband.
Exactly. Yeah, that's the role model
If he looks beaten down, If you're going to a holiday and he shakes your hand and he can't look at you in the eye, he might be a beaten down dude.
Yep.
And you kind of worry about that.
He kind of whispers like, don't do it.
Yeah, it's like, hey, can I give you money to go away? You know, that kind of thing. And you're like,
that's
how
a guy
much?
Who's really looking out for
how
you.
How much? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Can we go out in the backyard and have a cigar and talk about this?
Yeah, I do think mom and dad dynamic is what they're used to, but also their perspective on it. Maybe she's like, my mom's a little crazy, and I would never do my husband the way she does hers. Maybe she's got some. Because a lot of people do a great job with seeing something and being like, I don't want that. Some people lean into it, and they just continue the course, and then other people are like, I saw this, and I grew up with it, and I don't want that.
Going to break that cycle.
Yeah, break the cycle.
And the 8170 text, and you guys are a joke, let's live together so I can find whatever excuse I can find to not marry you. Every relationship is different.
Yeah.
Everyone is. Yeah. It doesn't necessarily go according to plan.
Ah.
So, I mean, who the hell
are being married nowadays?
Who the hell are you to interject like you guys are a joke? You don't know. Nobody's a joke for just telling their truth and their experience.
Yeah. Yeah, but it doesn't
impact every single relationship. Everyone is different. You're ultimately going to do whatever the hell you want to do. We've all had our best friends who are like, damn, that is a mistake.
Yeah.
But how many times do you tell them that, and they're going to do what they want to do, and it doesn't take until ultimately it's ended for them, for them to say, damn, you were right the whole time.
It was a little heavy-handed there, calling you a joke. But I do think he's on to something. Everybody's always looking for they're waiting to find the perfect situation.
Of course.
And you're never going to find that. There's always going to be pain in the ass things, but you have to remember that you provide roughly 50% of the pain in the ass things that happen under your roof.
Right.
And so you have to appreciate that somebody's still there to stand by you.
Amen.
When you're being a wild animal.
Amen.
Know your
value, so but also give and take there. Your weaknesses.
Yes. Yeah. So I actually salute to that 817. It was a little heavy-handed, though.
Right. I'm sorry.
Somebody on the fan text says, never married the firstborn girl. Man, where were you when I needed you, fam?
Oh, the type A, huh? The type A girl?
Where were you when I needed you?
Ready to boss you around a little bit?
I'm supposed to be a kept man right now. Living out there in Frisco or something. Arguing with the pool boy. No, man, I said the pump is not working, fam. How about this one? My dad said this, but he said it after the fact. You can't fix what you didn't break.
Yes.
I think that's sage advice.
Yeah.
Somebody you don't have to like get involved every time, you know, that she's doing something you don't like.
Uh-uh.
Like a shoulder shrug and a okay might just handle it best.
Fan texter said, I sit in my car for 10 minutes when I get home. Sorry, bro. I'm sorry. Never marry a woman who doesn't want you to look good.
Who doesn't want you to look good?
She does not want you to look good.
Mm.
She likes you fat with a messed up hairline and bad looking clothes because you're all mine.
Yeah, yeah. The insecure girl. It's a tough one to date.
Yeah, put that ugly camouflage on you. last one right here. Marry a woman who wants marriage, not a wedding.
Yes.
Oh man, that might take the cake right there. Save the best for last.
Yeah, that's a strong punctuation there.
That's good. All right. Well, that's it for me. I had a lot of stuff planned, but that stretched on out. Pause. I guess I'll get on out of here. See you on the Friday. My name is Lucius Alexander. Lord willing, the creek don't rise. I'll be here. Holla.
Salute. There he goes. Lucius Alexander, LA Live, every night about 5:40 in the G-Bag Nation. Of course, tomorrow we'll get what you drink and what you're thinking in before LA Live, and we'll be live at Buffalo Wild Wings in Grand Prairie. We're going to do some baseball, Wolchuk. You want to do Cowboys? Baseball?
Yeah, let's do some baseball. Top postseason heroes of the last 10 years. That's next on the Fan.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything, and that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole with its V-shaped stud configuration is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at newbalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.